helping out upstairs, and there was a little bit of technical difficulties, but you probably didn't know it. But I was at church, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but God coordinated my schedule with the schedule of my second favorite worship leader. My first favorite worship leader is Zoltan, as you know. Matt Redman was a guest worship leader at Church of the City in Franklin, Tennessee last week. He's my second favorite. And he sang a song I had never heard before. And I will be hearing it again. I've already heard it several times this week. And you will be hearing it sometime because I will tell you, it's lovely. And I couldn't sing. I couldn't croak out a word. I just bawled the whole time. It was lovely. But I go, what is going on? And it was a very large church, and there were a bunch of people there, and they were in the second of three services. And I will tell you, Matt Redman was only there because God loved me last Sunday. Everybody else got to get on it. God was just being kind to me. That's how I interpret it. And I will tell you, you can do worse than interpreting kind circumstances in your life through the filter of, you know, this is just God loving me. This is just God taking care of me. This is just God just being nice to me. And not only is he worthy of our praise because he's all-powerful, he's sovereign, he never makes a mistake, he is the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, but he is kind, and he is tender-hearted, and he is merciful towards us in ways that we don't deserve. And so I was thinking, you know, I lived out a Bible study lesson 4 days later, and I'm finding this happening more and more and more. And so if you're on the lookout for it, loved ones, you will see God being kind to you, and you will experience God touching you and saying the same things to you over and over and over again. And you're going to think, this is crazy. The pastor spoke about this. The radio spoke about this. The TV spoke about this. I opened my Bible and it's saying the same things. What's going on? God's trying to sell you something. So give us ears to hear, right? And as far as this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. I pray that you would give me grace now to speak your word to your people with your heart. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. This comes at the end of the epistle to the Hebrews. And at the end of the epistle, the author of Hebrews prays for his audience. And this is part of his prayer. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, now may the God of peace," verse 21, "equip you with everything good that you may do his will. May he work in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So the author has written to them 13 chapters of just beautiful advice about Jesus being better. And at the end, he prays for them. And he's praying from, "Now may the God of peace equip you." In the Greek, that word is the word katartizo. And we're going to focus on that word and its variants throughout the course of this morning. "Now may the God of peace equip you." Equip you, perfect you, complete you, ready you, prepare you, frame you, arrange you, put you in proper order, furnish you with all that's good. All of these implications are found in this one Greek word, katartizo. And so sometimes, I don't know if you're wondering, God, what are you up to? Really, what are you up to in my life? What are you up to in this world? What is the birth in Bethlehem about? What is the Passion Week where you were abused heading to the cross? What is that about? When you were dying on the cross, what is that about? When you gave your last breath, what was going on? When you were buried in the grave for 3 days, what was going on? When you were raised again from the dead, what were you up to? When you were ascended to the right hand of the Father, what were you up to? Now, as you continue to pray for and intercede for those who love you and those who are coming to you, what are you up to right now? He is equipping us. He is putting us in order. He is perfecting. He is completing the work that he began. Loved ones, Jesus is not only our Redeemer, he is also our Restorer and our Equipper. It's not enough for God to get us into heaven. He is working hard to get kingdom values and priorities into our lives and kingdom fitness into our lives before we get there. And so the author of Hebrews prays, may the God of peace equip you with everything that is good. The Christian life, to be clear, is about salvation. Outside of redemption, outside of our salvation, we are not a part of the kingdom of God. But it is also about being mended. It's also about being restored. It's also about being matured. It's also about being released. And that is the focus of our time together this morning. The Greek word katartizo means all of these things and a little bit more that we're not going to get to today. And Mark chapter 1, verse 19 gives us kind of a sweet or a helpful visual of what katartizo means. A little bit further on, the story is following Jesus at the front end of his ministry. And going a little further on, Jesus saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, future apostles. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were in their boat mending, katartizo, their nets. They were fishermen. And as I understand it, if you're a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee, there comes times that holes get in your nets. And when a hole gets in a net, rather than going and get a brand new net, if you can mend that sucker, you mend that sucker, it saves you a couple of pennies. Back in the day, there was such a thing as darning of socks, because socks were important. And sometimes you need to darn those socks. You need to mend those socks because you don't have enough scratch to go buy yourself a new pair of socks. I remember when I was a kid wearing blue jeans. Mom used to do the iron-on knee pads. Not a particularly stylish decision. But after your boy has worn out jeans after jean after jean, the boy wears them until he can't put them on his waist, even if they are way up this high, right? Anybody? You're wearing jeans that are up this high, and you got iron-on knee pads. Mending their fishing nets. Katartizo, to frame, to arrange, set in order, to equip that net to do what it was purposed to do, to equip those jeans to do what their purpose is, to complete what is lacking, to make fully ready, to prepare, and fit for usefulness. Katartizo, to repair what is damaged, secure it for healing, and release it for usefulness. Think of a broken bone. You break a bone, you go to the emergency room, and they set that sucker, sometimes violently, sometimes with great pain, always with great pain. They set it in order, and then they wrap it, right? Secure it for healing. And then there comes a day with the glorious and also kind of smelly untaking of the cast. And that arm is now released again for the purpose, the usefulness that it is supposed to have. God seeks to do this, loved ones, in the lives of every hurting person in this world. He takes what is broken in us, what is broken and what is damaged by sin, and he fixes it by forgiving it, and then he prepares it to be released for usefulness. Katartizo. It gives us four aspects of God's redeeming activity. We're going to go through these real quick. The first aspect is God comes to heal us of our brokenness. This is his activity. Galatians chapter 1. It says, if anyone is caught in a trespass, if anyone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual, restore, katartizo, such a one in a spirit of gentleness. If there is someone who is broken, someone who is caught in sinfulness, you who are spiritual, give yourself to the fixing of what is broken. in light of God's purpose to save the lost, to heal those who are wounded by sin, the people of God are to follow God's lead. Years ago, we used to sing, "He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, our sins to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, we lift your name on high." This is the work of God, to forgive us of our sin and to show us the way. He brings us into his kingdom work. God's people are to partner with God in his restoring and repairing program. Isaiah chapter 61, this is a lovely verse. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4, prophetically speaks of a day when the people of God shall build up the ancient ruins, restore that which is damaged. They shall raise up the former destinations to build that which had crumbled. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is the work of God. And we know that by his grace, for some reason, God has chosen to forward his work in this world, primarily through his people. God does the work, but he uses means. And loved ones, we are his means of restoration. The gospel goes out to the lost through the voice of God's people. The voice of hope and building brothers and sisters up in our most holy faith goes out through the voice and the care of his brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a lovely thing when we come together, but church isn't simply about coming together and listening to a round red-faced guy go on and on and on. It's about coming alongside one another, in caring for one another, in encouraging one another, speaking the truth in love. Sometimes that's correction. Sometimes it's an attaboy, that's an attagirl. If anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore, give yourself to this. The community of faith is to be a community of restoration, not of condemnation. And too many times we lack patience with one another. And we cast one another off before God has the ability to really grab hold of it. We are to be patient and long-suffering. That is a fruit of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. So what was Jesus was doing in John chapter 21 with Peter? You remember, just before Jesus went to the cross, he had spoken to Peter, said, "There's going to come a day really soon," happened to be that night, "when you're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "No way. I will die for you." "No, before the rooster crows three times tonight, you're going to deny that you know me." And sure enough. And a few days later, a few weeks later, Peter is back fishing. That's what he did. He's back fishing. And Jesus shows up after the resurrection on the side of the beach. And Peter becomes aware that the man on the side of the beach, it's Jesus. And Peter, whose last face-to-face interaction with Jesus was from a distance, denying that he knew him. Peter sees the man that he had denied on the beach, and Peter jumps in the water to get to him. It's a little bit of a complicated passage because apparently Peter's a very slow swimmer. The guys in the boat pulled in their nets and got to the beach before Peter did. Or maybe Peter got there and he's like, don't you know when you fail somebody, it's difficult to approach them? But Peter's first impulse was the right impulse. If I could just get to him, it's going to be okay. And there on the beach, Jesus mends. The word's not in the passage, but the activity's in the passage. Jesus mends Peter's broken heart, and he restores him, and he moves him forward into usefulness. Here's how it went down. John 21, verse 15. And when they had finished breakfast, make sure I got the right verse, yeah. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, You will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry where you do not want to go. He said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to Peter again, follow me. I don't think it's too much, and I've heard it talked this way many times. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three. How many times did Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? For every failure, he allowed Jesus to vocalize his love for Jesus. And after each one, he said, feed my sheep. You have work to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. In here we see him, his brokenness being forgiven. We see purpose being restored. Feed my sheep. And we see that God believes in him, and the person of Jesus Christ says, come and follow me. Jesus was healing Peter in this conversation. God's redeeming activity includes healing from brokenness. It also includes the restoration of purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, we read this, for the equipping, katartizo, the saints for the work of ministry. Here Paul is saying, here's why God gave apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, so that the people will be equipped for every good work. So they will be katartizo. Loved ones, God doesn't just save us. He sends us. He restores us to his kingdom working. The role of pastors, the role of teachers, the role of leaders is to equip others for the kingdom callings. Discipleship is a lifelong journey of being trained in righteousness. I'm still being trained in righteousness by other pastors, by other mentors. God has given me pastors. God has given me teachers. God has given me apostles. God has given to me people to whom I give my ear to, that I might be further trained, further equipped to do the work that God has called me to do. And loved ones, you have a work that God has called you to do. Ephesians chapter 4 means being fully prepared and empowered for God's service. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 presents this as the aim of Scriptures. Why has God given us the Scriptures? So that we might be fully equipped for every good work. Why does he send teachers and pastors and leaders? So that we might be equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Katartizo. Might be complete, equipped for every good work. So why do you open up your Scripture? That you might know the Lord? You might study the Lord? You might be enlightened by the Lord? You might receive a revelation from the Lord that will give you a moment of courage and a moment of fear? At the same time, it is here to train you in righteousness. You will be equipped to do his work. God's redeeming activity includes the healing of brokenness and the restoring of purpose. It also includes maturing for fruitfulness. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. We pray most earnestly, night and day, this is Paul, that we may see you face to face and supply, katartizo, what is lacking in your faith. We all have a ways to go. For each of us, there is maturity yet ahead. Can we give God thanks for the maturing that has already taken place in our lives? Lord, we thank you. Let's do it, Lord. We thank you for the good work that you've done. And I want you to do that again, but I want you to do it for the maturing that has taken place in your life. The Lord has matured you. The Lord has grown you. The Lord is giving himself to you more and more and more. And I know that for many of you, there's this sense of failure. There's a sense that I'm a Christian, yeah, but I'm not a very good one. That might be true. But loved ones, you're a Christian. You're not what you once were. God has started a good work in you, and he deserves praise for that good work. And we need to be thankful for that good work. We're not complete and total failures. You're just not. And there's no growing in maturity without a thankfulness for the maturity that God has already worked in our lives. I've met many people this altar said, Lord, I said, Pastor Brian, nobody calls me Lord. I've met people at the altar. And they're just so discouraged about how far they have yet to go. And sometimes I know the story of their lives. And sometimes, that life is a complete mess. Complete mess. Every avenue, every arena in this life, there is something that is broken. There is something that is still not quite right. But loved ones, in no case have I come across a believer who is discouraged about their growth in Christ who hasn't grown some already. Let's talk about sin. So we're going to talk about sin. But before we talk about sin, can we give God praise for what he's already done? We're not to feel under the guilt that we are total and abject failures. The Lord has begun a good work. And this isn't just about the super people who are around you. This is about you. He's begun a good work. He's maturing us for fruitfulness. Spiritual growth requires instruction. And so Paul is sent to the Thessalonians to supply what they lack. We understand that trials come to refine our faith. That's how James calls it. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I want to be steadfast. I don't want trials. But I don't get to being a steadfast person unless something comes against me that would tempt me not to be steadfast. I want to be a patient man. And so when I pray, Lord, would you make me patient? He's going to send somebody to me to try my patience. And if that was ever you, thank you for being a means of God's sanctification in my life. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have full effect that you may be perfect and complete. Think mature, lacking nothing. What allows us to count it all joy when we are going through a time of testing? What is it that allows us to count it all joy when we are being pushed and we are being pressed in ways we would rather not be pushed, in ways that we would rather not be pressed? What is it that allows us to count it all joy? It's the understanding that God is working in us something good. The understanding that God is making out of us vessels of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Those who cleanse themselves from sin will be instruments of special purpose, will be vessels of honor, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. What is it that allows us to count it all joy when we're being pressed in ways we don't want to be pressed? Is knowing that God is at work in us, crafting out of our corruptible bodies vessels of honors that are holy, that are useful to the master, that are prepared to do every good work. This isn't about those who are super apostles or super pastors, those who are saints. This is about you, loved ones. When God is bringing you through difficult circumstances, you can count it joy. Lord, I thank you that in this awful circumstance, you are doing something good. We sing songs about this. You were up to something good in this devastating experience I'm going through. And one of the things is not is your glory, but another thing is you're crafting me. How many of you look at yourself? Well, no, don't do this. But I will just raise my hand. When I evaluate my life, I go, that vessel is anything but one of honor. There's lots of, well, look, bruises, scabs. If I've been to an Italian restaurant, or if I've really been anywhere to eat, there's stains on my clothes. I'm that guy. There's things about me that's not particularly honorable. God is work, making me a vessel of honor. It's true of you. Making you holy. Making you useful for the master's work. Challenging experiences are common to us all, loved ones. But in his kindness, God walks us through them, and he supplies us with the necessary means, resources to grow from the bad experiences, from immaturity into maturity. And more than anything, what he supplies us is brothers and sisters who are with us, who will walk through the valley with us, who will speak a good word of encouragement, who will speak a word of correction when we need it. God's redeeming activity includes the healing of our brokenness, the restoring us to purpose, and the maturing us for faithfulness. And finally, it includes the releasing into purpose, into mission. This is what the author of Hebrews prayed in chapter 13. May the God of peace make you complete in every good work to do his will. See, the ultimate goal of restoration isn't simply that we squeak through and we find our way to heaven. That's wonderful, right? But the ultimate goal of restoration is to we are equipped to have kingdom impact. We don't just get to go to heaven. We get to bring others with us. We don't simply get to crawl into heaven. We can being pulled, running by somebody else as we hold on to the hands of somebody else and we race into heaven. So my best man at my wedding used to pray, Lord, when I get to heaven, I will to be already so close to you that I experience no culture shock when I get there. Wouldn't that be great? That would be great. I said, Don, that's a dumb prayer. This is what I said. I said, Don, that is a dumb prayer. We're all going to experience culture shock when we get to heaven. He said, I want to be so close on this side. It's a great goal. And I believe it's the goal of God's working in us. The restoration is to equip us for kingdom impact. We are commissioned to go and be his hands and his feet. Like the disciples who were trained and sent out, we are to be trained and set out and step into our calling. We have experienced the love of God. We are to share the love of God. We have been given ears to hear the gospel. We are to speak the gospel truth to other people that the Spirit may give them ears to hear what the Lord says. In Luke chapter 9, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Loved ones, we too are sent to proclaim God's kingdom. To declare that the kingdom of God is here. And whenever the kingdom of God comes face to face, is impacted, is leveraged upon the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of this world have to bow their knee. Katartizo. God's work in four words. Healing, restoring, maturing, and releasing. What is God up to? Anywhere you open this Bible, what is God up to? In Amos. What is God up to in Jeremiah? What is God up to in 2 Kings? What is God up to in Matthew? What is God up to in James? What is God up to in the maps? He's redeeming us. He's healing us from brokenness. He's restoring us to purpose. He is maturing us for fruitfulness and is releasing us into mission. And I want to say all of this is awesome. Right? This is awesome. But how do we participate in God's redeeming purposes? How do we get with the project? Any fathers have to ever tell your kids, you need to get with the project. Fathers of sons have had to use this from time to time. How do we participate in God's redeeming project, his activity? Stay in his word. This has been given that we may be fully equipped for every good work. Be rooted in spiritual community. Restoration happens in fellowship. We're going to go to have a time of feasting after service. But we need to be mindful of one another every moment that we possibly can. When we gather together Sunday mornings, we gather together Wednesday nights. We need to be thoughtful of those who are present. And as best we can, be mindful of those who may be absent. So the marching orders as we go to the back is this. Friends and family can wait. There's somebody there you haven't met, meet them. And a lone person is an emergency. And then there's this. If somebody's absence is acute enough for you to notice, it's important enough for you to look after them. If the thought ever crosses, you know, where has so-and-so been? That is the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder. Why don't you reach out to so-and-so? Stay in His Word. Be rooted in spiritual community. Restoration happens in fellowship. Submit to the process of growth. Don't forget that trials and challenges, they refine you. And then embrace your calling. I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me, but I want you to think this. You are a proclaimer of the kingdom of God. As a child of God, you are to proclaim His kingdom come. You've experienced it coming into your life. You've received the good news. What do we do with good news? We share it. We proclaim it. Let katartizo be a filter that allows you to look through the relation that you look through the relationships that are in your life. Let this be a filter. When we're looking, brothers and sisters in Christ, let katartizo be the filter to help you understand what God is doing in their lives. When you are amongst those who are near to you but far from God, let katartizo be the filter before you help you interpret what God is doing in their lives. They may be far from God, but God desires to heal them, to fix, to mend them, to restore them, and to equip them for service, what God desires to do. And so, try and track with me on these questions. How do you make this a filter? You can ask yourself when you are around people, not just Christians, but non-believers as well who are important to you or who are close to you. Here's the filter. You can ask yourself, what is broken in this person's life that needs to be mended? Where are you aware of a wounding in their life? And you believe that God would want to heal that. This is how we look at one another. This is how we look at people who are far from God. And then you can ask this. What is being healed that needs my patience? God has begun a good work. And God's good work includes our healing, but sometimes it's a longer process than any of us wants. And in those times, we need to learn patience. I wish this person would just get over this. I don't know how many times I have told them what they need to do. Good grief. I'm wearing myself out. What is being healed that requires your patience? What is it in them? What usefulness do you see in their lives that God can use? What is it that God is healing, has healed, that needs to be released to this world for its own good? The questions are these. What is broken that needs mending? What is healing that needs patience? What is useful that God can use and identify it and call it out? And what ministry is present that you can champion? Where is it that you see Jesus all over your friends and it wouldn't hurt for you to say, I see Jesus all over you, brother. I see Jesus all over you, sister. We get enough negative input just by driving home. We're going too fast or we're going too slow. We put on our blinker too late or we didn't put it on at all. We get all sorts of input. May we be active in showing love and inputting for the good of others. So let me ask you this question. We're reining it in, and Zoltan's going to come and lead us in a song before we take communion together. I want you to ask yourself, who are you pouring your life into? God is doing all these things. There's somebody in your life that He is tapping you on the shoulder to be a part of His redeeming project. Maybe you need to ask the question, Lord, who would you have me pour my life into in this way? Who is broken around me that needs to be restored? And I'm going to tell you, every one of us, we already know their name. Somebody you already know is in need of your encouragement. Lord, who would you have me pour into? Name, please. In this person's life, what is broken that is in need of healing? Pray for that person in these ways. What is healing that needs to be nurtured? And what is useful that needs to be unleashed? Put a name over these things. Let it be the filter that allows you to pray well for your brothers and sisters in Christ and allows you to pray well for those who are far from God. What is it in this person that needs healing? What is in progress? What is useful that you can use for your glory? God is bringing people into his kingdom. God is maturing his kingdom people. Here's what we don't have to do. We don't have to ask Jesus to save people. He is wanting to save people. We don't have to ask Jesus to build up our brothers and sisters as if he didn't want to build up our brothers and sisters. It is the desire of his heart. So Lord, open up our eyes so that we can behold where you are at work and move with you as we usher, you use us to usher people into the kingdom of God, and as you use us to mature other people, brothers and sisters, in their maturing in the kingdom of God. Names, names, names. Get a name and start praying these things. Lord, use me to bring fill in the blank into your kingdom. Lord, use me to forward, fill in the blank with a name, in their kingdom assignment. Do you believe that God is up to something good? Do you believe that Philippians chapter 1 and 6 is true, where Paul wrote, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work will complete it in you? Do we believe this? Do you believe it about yourself? Do you believe you could use some help? Lord, I'm going to pray that you use me to help Diane move further along. But Lord, would you send me somebody to help me further along? God is in the business of making us whole. God is in the business of making us strong. God is in the business of making us ready. May we surrender to God's restoring, equipping, and commissioning program of redemption. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. And he's chosen to partner with us to get it done. Lord, we pray that your work of redemption would be fully accomplished in our lives, and that you advance your project of redemption by using us for your glory. Amen. And let these thoughts kind of be in your mind as we sing a song in preparation for a time of communion.
Like a flood comes flowing.